I like that song. They say, but the angels keep watching over me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord says he's got it all covered. You know, got all the bases covered.
Yes.
Amen. We thank God for letting us be here today. And since you see, I'll set my glasses over there. Okay, I guess I didn't know what it was. Okay, I got a couple of prayer buried up here somewhere. Amen. But in either case,
amen,
all is well.
I got them.
Oh, they are over there. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Usually helps.
Amen.
I can see everything out there real good, but right here up close, I can hardly see anything. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We give the Lord praise, and we're in the midst of a good time. Now, usually, those of you who frequent St. Timothy, you are aware that we normally print our lesson out ahead of time. But over the weekend, this weekend, we went up to visit my sister. I have a sister that is very ill with cancer. And she had set her hopes on having the family all come for Mother's Day. So we told her we were not able to make it for Mother's Day, but we went up over the weekend on Friday and stayed with them on Saturday. And so we will post this lesson online on the website after today. Later on tonight, you'll be able to find the printed text and also the audio online. So just letting you know that we try to be able to put things out there so that if you get a blessing for something, and a lot of times we know even when you're in church, you only hear a portion of what's said because so much goes on, and that's how God deals with us, God the Holy Spirit. And so we like to have it online so that you can go back and listen again.
Yes.
That's one purpose. The second one is you may have someone who you think would benefit from hearing a particular message.
Amen.
And you can tell them where it's located online, and they can go there and listen to it. You can email a link anywhere on the planet and have anyone anywhere hear the message. Amen?
Amen.
And so I feel like if Paul had this type of access to things that would make this possible, he certainly would have done it.
Because
he got on horseback and on foot, and he walked, he crawled, he did whatever he could. Got in a ship, he did all kinds of stuff. And Jesus, even all by foot and by hand, with no telephone, no radio, no Facebook, no Twitter, you know. But I'm sure if they had those things, they most certainly would have used them, because the Great Commission to the church is to go ye, that means all of you, you remember that we talked about it in Bible study, into all the world and teach all the nations. That's a big job.
Yes, it is.
So, and we're not done.
Right.
We're just getting started. See?
Amen.
And so, but we want this gospel, Jesus said, of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. It's like he's waiting on us.
Yeah.
He said the gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end will come. Somebody want to know, when is the kingdom coming? Well, he said the kingdom of God is in your midst. You see? And the knowledge of it is the gospel, the good news that God has given his son, so that no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter how long we've been entangled in sin, whatever it is, he said, I'm willing and able to forgive you. I've sent my son, had him to give his life, which he did. He was crucified on the Roman cross. I shouldn't be preaching this yet because I'm not into my message, but this is my message, and I want to be very clear and very plain about it, that whosoever believes in him, that he died and became a ransom for your sin and got up out of the grave, proving he had defeated death, hell, and the grave. Whoever believes in him,
yes,
will not perish. In other words, you will not have to suffer eternal judgment and separation from God.
You
see? And that's whoever you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done. That's the good news I have. I'm not shame, no shame in my game. Amen. I want to let the cat out the bag right now. But in either case, that means you, whoever you are, whatever you have done.
That's right.
You know what? That was the best news I ever heard when I actually believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about, you know, I could use something like that. That sounds pretty good to me. But is it true?
Yeah.
It doesn't apply to me. I've kept on putting myself on the stand.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, all the mess you did, man, you ain't worthy of that. That's what the devil in your own flesh will tell you. Mm-hmm. You know what that truth is? That's true.
Yeah.
I am not worthy of it.
Yeah.
God doesn't need to do that for me because I don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll do a little better next time and all that, you know. And it never worked until I understood that He loves you already and that you are hopelessly stuck in whatever it is you're dealing with until you turn your life over to Him.
Yes.
Now, when you do that, now that stuff you're concerned about, you'll get some power. Because He told His disciples, He said, I'm going away, but you go and wait in Jerusalem and you're going to be endued with power from on high in Acts chapter number 1, right? And He said there that you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
See, so we're still here now, 2014 years from His birth. Of course, Jesus was crucified at about the age of 33, so you can subtract 33 off that 2014, but right at that time and from then up until now, the gospel, this good news that God has given His Son for you,
yes.
This is not rocket science.
That's
it's
right.
Just the flat, bare, naked truth.
That's what it is.
He gave Jesus to be crucified for you.
Amen.
He died. He was buried in the grave 3 days and three nights according to the scriptures and got up with all power in His hands on the third day morning.
Amen.
So we have a simple message.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure you understand that. And I'm going to go ahead and give a text here into a normal situation like what you were expecting here for Mother's Day. And I just wanted to say that. I had that on my lips.
Amen.
And I want to let you know that God loves you.
Yes,
just
does.
Exactly as you are.
Yes, He does.
And that you can come right now. And if you don't have a proper relationship with Him, it's not His fault.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you know what He requires. He requires that you come and submit yourself to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you shall be saved. The Bible says if we will confess with our mouths, that means I say what God says,
yeah.
And believe in my heart,
yeah,
that God has raised Him from the dead, then you shall be saved. That's very, very simple. And now when you get saved, this is when you receive power, like Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Yes.
And He's going to be in you and fill you with the right desire to do the right thing. He's going to be in there to put a contest between what you would do and what you ought to do.
Amen.
And then all you have to do is go with what I ought to do and not do what I feel like I want to do.
Amen.
And if you don't have that in you, that's the problem. That's why you haven't been able to get past whatever it is that's bothering you. Okay, let me go to my text. Let's go to, for in the honor of mothers, we have prepared a special message today. And it's going to be from the book of Ruth in the Old Testament.
Okay.
And while you find Ruth, I'm going to tell you a joke here. I don't usually do much with jokes, but there was a feminist that came up to a preacher. And the feminist came up, and after the service, the preacher preached and all that. And the feminist came walking up to the preacher and said, I need to have a word with you. And the preacher said, okay, go ahead. She says, y'all been up here saying amen, 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 all day. Why don't you ever say amen? And preacher thought about it for a minute, and he looked at the feminist. He said, well, ma'am, that's because we sing hymns and not hers. Bad joke. Anyway, come on now. Back to the book. Let's go back to Ruth. The book of Ruth. You'll find that in the Old Testament. It's right after the book of, you go through the Judges, and then right after Judges, you'll find the book of Ruth. Okay, small book, four chapters. And I got one more. I'm just going to do this before while y'all looking for Ruth. Why they included the book of Ruth in the Bible? Because God did not want the Bible to be a ruthless book. Okay. Anyway, we're done. Let's move right along. Okay, otherwise the Bible would be ruthless. And so we're not going to have that here. Okay, the book of Ruth.
Everybody said, we read.
Right in the first chapter, the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Now, I'm going to let you know something here, too. I need to say this. Today, when I went to see my sister, and really just before that, she sent this. This is my mother's Bible, who passed in 2008. And I know a lot of us have a lot of heavy load because of our mothers who have gone home.
Yes.
But my sister, who is ill, said she wanted me to have this. She had given it to her. And so I'm going to preach from this book today. This is my mother's Bible. And your mothers, let me say this, those whose mothers have went on, they are in if they are in Christ, they wouldn't come back here for anything. Because that's what they live their life for, is in order to be in the presence of Christ. And they would tell you, press on in the name of Jesus. Press on in the name of Jesus. Keep on pressing, because we'll catch up with them soon. So here in Ruth, not going to read but a few verses here today for the conservation of time. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 16, and we'll read down to verse 22. Mm-hmm. Ruth 1:16 says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Mm-hmm. And where you lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Yes. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee with me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me? The Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. We have read the word of the Lord, Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 to 22. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you today, God, for all of your mercy, all your power, Lord. Father, we come weak and broken, God, in our hearts, and some of us, Lord, have tremendous pain at this time of year. And so, Father, we call on you for comfort.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you by your Spirit, comfort us, God, strengthen us. And those of us whose mother is here on this side, we ask you to just let us rejoice, oh God. Let us enjoy them while we can.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we pray that you bless every mother that's here in this place. Bless every mother, God. Pour out just a rich blessing, that this will be the most blessed day they have had in a long time, oh God. That it would be just a sweet time that they have, oh God, thinking about the goodness and mercy of God that has been poured into their lives. Bless them to be better mothers, better followers of Christ, oh God. And we ask you to bless these words that go forth, that they be filled with power, the power of your Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. So, as we said, these are very powerful words. Now, most of you, I don't know if most of you are familiar with the book of Ruth. It has been one of my very favorite books. Even though it's short, it's a powerful little book. And as they tucked it in there, the Bible translators tucked it in right after the period of the judges and just before the prophets, before Samuel. So it's kind of a pivotal book, and it's very, very terribly important, Book of Ruth. And I'll tell you why in just a minute here. So for a subject, I'd like to talk with you today about the mighty mystery of motherhood. Amen. Amen. You may want to make a note of that. The mighty mystery of motherhood. Amen. Very, very powerful things that need to be understood. But what did God have in mind when he did what he did, when he made people the way he did? We want to talk just a little bit about the mind of God and what was God thinking when he ordained that it would be so, that you and I would come into the world by way of a mother. Mm-hmm. There's no one here that came here any other way.
That's right. That's right.
You came by mother.
That's right.
You had to be born to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You have a legal right in the world because of the fact that you had to be born. I always like to tell my evolutionist friends about this. Who do you know that was not born? That's a simple question. And you answer me that. Who do you know that was not born? Who you know don't have a belly button? And they have to think for a minute. Well, I don't know. I say, okay, then. Well, that means people are born. That's how they get here, right?
Right.
Okay? They don't evolve.
That's right.
You have no proof of it, but I bet you got a belly button.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell them, I toy with them a little bit, because everybody who comes here is born.
Right.
Why is that? Okay, let's look back and see. We're going to search the beginning of the word.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis, the very first thing which is revealed in God's word that is not good, think about this now, real good, put your spiritual thinking cap on this morning. God says in Genesis that there was something that was not good before sin entered into the world. Did you know that? Before sin, there was no sin. Everything was pristine, perfect, spotless, holy, and pure that God had made. He had seen it and it was good. Very good, it says in Genesis. And the very first thing, which you'll find right after the very first law in the Bible, which God gave in Genesis 2:17, when he said that there's one law. He says, you can do anything. I give you dominion over everything I made, Adam.
Right.
He was speaking to Adam, but there's one tree that's in the midst of the garden, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat from that. He said, the day you do, you shall surely die. So the penalty was death.
That's right.
There's no sin yet. Adam has not transgressed God in Genesis 2:17.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first law that's ever been given. One law. Adam had one law not to break, and that's it. Everything else, the sky's the limit. Do whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
I give you dominion over everything I made.
That's right.
I made it for you. Made the creation for you.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Genesis 2:18, the very next verse,
mm-hmm,
is the first mention where it says that, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that ought to just slap you in the face.
Amen.
What? Everything's perfect, holy, spotless, and pure. You gave him a law. It didn't say he broke it.
Right.
He hasn't broken it.
That's right.
But it says it is not good,
right,
that the man should be alone.
Amen.
Think about that. Let that just soak into your mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It is not good. Here's something. The world is perfect. There is no sin.
Yes.
Everything is holy, is pure, is pristine, hasn't been contaminated in any way.
Mm-hmm.
A law has been given, it has not been broken,
mm-hmm,
and God says, it is not good.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to just jump right out of the Bible at you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yes.
You know, that just has to spin your mind. How can something not be good?
Mm-hmm.
And so let's look at what God's answer was.
Mm-hmm.
His answer was that I'm going to make a woman. I'm going to make a help meet for him. Someone suitable for him.
Yes.
So God was thinking, first of all, that there are some reasons for that. Okay? It's not good that the man should be alone. And for lack of a better term, let's say there was a natural human deficiency in the fact that there was only one man.
Right.
There were some things he could not do. God said, be fruitful and multiply. How are you going to do that?
Right. Amen.
You know, how are you going to fulfill what I have for you to do? How are you going to fill the earth?
Yeah.
You see, can't do it. So there's a problem. It's not good.
Right.
Okay? And we could talk about that. That would probably take months to talk about that, and we're not going to do that this morning because we're zooming in on motherhood here.
Amen.
Because we want to lift our mothers today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We want them to be just filled with joy.
Yeah.
Because there is a mystery, a mighty mystery of motherhood, and we're looking at it here now in just a few words. So motherhood is God's answer to the deficiencies that man would have without a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, such as, I'm just going to name a couple here today. We could probably go on with an endless list, and Dr. Adams has already got a book brewing in his head over there right now. He writes books about things and relationships he's already digging into. I see the wheels turning over there. And so maybe we'll get his book in a week or two and we'll check it out. Okay, but in either case here, man cannot reproduce. There's no way to perpetuate the human family,
yeah,
without the woman, without a mother.
That's right.
And there is a mighty mystery which also would eventually provide an avenue of spiritual salvation and a vehicle for the incarnation of God the Son.
Yeah.
So God has got some deep things going on in his mind when Adam is standing there alone.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a law that's just been given. God already knows he's going to probably break that law. And it's not good. Something is not good here. So what is his solution? Make a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's someone suitable. Somebody, a counterpart to Adam.
Yeah.
Someone to fill up that which is lacking in his life.
Amen.
See,
amen.
Someone who will become a part of every human being. Because it says later on that Eve is the mother of all living.
Right.
Okay, I'd like to tell that to some of my science fiction folks who want to tell me there's folks on other planets. I said, but the Bible says Eve is the mother of all living.
That's right. Amen.
Okay, so if they got there, how did they get from here to there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to go into that one. That's another sermon. But I want you to understand that God chose human birth as the means to reproduce the culture. And that's the only thing we really know that's scientific. Every one of us was born. We all had a mother, even if I don't know her, if I've never even ever seen her in my life, I came here from a woman.
Amen.
He goes on to teach that. We know that. We say that's pretty much a no-brainer, Pastor Fisher. Okay, but look here now. So the human family needed to be perpetuated. Adam did not need to be lonely. He had other creatures that had been made that were right before him, male and female, and he had been given a task to name all of them. But for him, there was not found an help that was suitable for him or meet for him, as it says. So when God was making the woman Eve, he had some deep things in his mind. Say, God is heavy.
Yeah.
Say that. Just say, God is heavy. He's a heavy God. He got some heavy stuff going on. And what he wants to share it with us.
Yes.
He wants you to know how deep and how heavy he really is.
All right.
You know, when we talk about righteousness and all of that, it has to do in the Hebrew idea of weight, something that is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get that idea. We say, oh, he has some heavy things to say. You know, well, God is the heaviest. He is the most weighty of all beings that exist. And so he was thinking about some things that we haven't even thought about. We don't even think about these things. And we see it here. So I want you to see this. God the Son had to have a way to come into the world without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to share this with you, and I recommend two or three other messages on the website that you're going to have to go back and find on teachingbible.org.
Right.
Just click on sttmbc.com, and there's a link there. It'll link you over to the other page where the other messages are. And but what I want you to look at is one of them's called it's called The Mystery of Motherhood and God's Plan of Salvation. That'll give you some more information. But on this one today, we're going to zoom in on the mighty mystery of motherhood. Now look at this, and I want you to see. Now most of you know this. We're going to go to science class here just for a minute. When people are born, the seed from the man is put into the womb and it fertilizes an egg. And after that thing is formed, the ovum is formed, as it is called. The zygote, which is the smallest form of the preborn human being, which is in that womb, begins to grow in the mother's body. Okay? And at that point, there's a new life already started right there. It's completely separated from the mother. And it grows and becomes bigger and bigger over the whole gestation period of 9 months. And then when that time has come, it's time for the child to come forth. All during that time, basically the child is developing in the womb. He's producing his own blood. Did you know that?
Amen.
He is not connected to the mother's bloodstream at all.
Amen.
Completely disconnected. That's why we say that women carry a child.
That's it.
She's not feeding the child with her blood, but she is feeding him through the process of osmosis through a placenta, which is attached to the uterine wall. And then there is an umbilical cord. That's why I mentioned that belly button. And if it wasn't, the mother's blood pressure, which might, let's just say she has average blood pressure, 120 over 80, would explode that zygote because it cannot take that kind of pressure. So in the wisdom of the mind of God, he knew what was necessary for birth to happen. And so he had already designed it. He had to design Eve to be able to do this.
Yes.
Let me tell you a mystery. If he did it for Eve, guess who else he did it for? Every mother is equipped that way. So this is God's mystery, and it's a mighty mystery how, when the fullness of time was come, he would send forth a son made of a woman. See? And it says that Jesus was put into the womb of the Virgin Mary, according to the prophets, by the Holy Spirit. Not by any son of Adam who was contaminated with sin. God, the Holy Spirit, placed that child in Mary's womb. A virgin womb. Because he had prophesied, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. It was said all the way back in Genesis 3:15, which is after this time, that the seed of the woman, it said, Genesis 3:15, will become him who bruises the serpent's head. See, he's going to take away the power of Satan. So when God made Eve, he had a lot on his plate. I have to have a way to take on flesh without taking on Adam's sin. And so I'm a design every woman, every one of you who is a woman has the design of Eve, the same design. Mm-hmm. When that's why we know when young men go out today to be DNA tested, we know who the daddy is, right?
Right.
Why? Because the blood in the child is from the father.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Now in the case of Jesus, the blood in Jesus is from the father.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Most High Father.
Amen.
And he had already designed that in women when he made Eve. And when he said it's not good that man should be alone, he was making a way that he himself could take on flesh.
Amen.
And dwell among us, like John says in John 1:14.
Yes.
The word became flesh.
Yeah.
And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you know what, the reason I'm a sinner is my dad was a sinner.
Right.
The reason you're a sinner is your dad was a sinner. I'm not
Amen.
Trying to talk about your dad, that's why it started with me.
Amen.
But everyone is born of Adam. The Bible says you're in the blood of Adam. Either that or you need to be born again, Jesus said, didn't he?
Amen.
He told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
For that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Flesh.
And if you're born of the flesh, guess where that flesh came from? It came from Adam.
Amen.
And that succession of sinful blood is passed all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
David in Psalm 51 says, behold, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He says it from my mother's womb.
Uh-huh.
See? So he's not trying to get away with anything. He says, my nature is sinful.
That's right. Amen.
And I cry out to you, have mercy on me, O God, in Psalm 51.
Yes.
And so basically what I want you to see is the design of a woman is something very powerful that God had made when he made Eve, because it's not good that the man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. And not only that, but in the fullness of time, as it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4,
mm-hmm.
God sent forth his son made of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
And born under the law.
Yeah.
See? And to deliver us from the curse
yeah.
of the law.
Yeah.
And the law would be a curse to me and you because, why? Because we can't keep it.
Amen.
The Bible says that if you break God's law in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. In other words, God throws the book at you. You break one law, wham! Throw the book at you. So law therefore cannot save me, not because there's something wrong with the law.
Right.
There was nothing wrong with the law, there's something wrong with me.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a problem.
Amen.
I can't do everything perfectly. I try. I don't like lying. You feel bad right after you do it. And then they'll ask you another question, and I got to tell another lie to cover that lie I just told. And then you start to feel bad because you become a perpetual liar. You're telling lies trying to cover another lie. Or you're stealing, and you have to steal again, and you just get where it gets good to you until next thing you know they slapping the cuffs on you, carrying you away. You know what I'm saying? So we get addicted to sin. And so basically it's a good thing that God breaks those chains, and he only does it by grace. Once you understand the grace of God, that he has given his son, and this is the only way any human being can be clean in his sight. But on the other hand, it's the best way, because when you come by his way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. We come by his grace through faith.
Amen.
Jesus pays your bill entirely.
Yes,
no one else can pay it. Only Jesus Christ.
Only Jesus.
And when he pays it, it's paid in full.
Yes,
and you can rest in it.
Amen.
Okay? But so I wanted you to just see these things first, that God was preparing a way. And that's why when we get to the book of Ruth, you might wonder, what does that have to do with Ruth? I'll see some head spinning over here. The biblical account of Ruth illustrates how God redeems even a Gentile bride, as the church is, for his son, and shows off the mighty mystery of motherhood.
Amen.
See? And notice this through Naomi, the bitter Jewess. She is a Jewess, and she's bitter because, those of you who don't know the story, she had went down with her husband and two sons down into the land of Moab because there was a famine in the land where she was, in the land where the Jews live.
Yeah.
So they went down there, even though God had told them that land is cursed, stay away from those people.
That's right.
But they said, hey, we're going to do it our way. They got the Frank Sinatra mode. I did it my way. And they went on down into Moab where they should not have been. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Got down there and stuff didn't go right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got a little bread, but next thing you know, her husband died.
That's right.
And her sons married Moabitess women. Mm-hmm. They weren't supposed to marry people who were not of their own tribes.
Amen.
You see that? Mm-hmm. And so now they're getting farther and farther away from God. First, the husband died and left Naomi as a widow. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, mm-hmm. married Moabite women.
That's right.
Who worship foreign gods, who were not true to the true one and only God.
Amen.
Next thing you know, both of them died.
Yes, they did.
Down there in Moab.
Mm-hmm.
So now Naomi, this woman who is the subject of our thing, you might wonder, why isn't this the book of Naomi? Okay? And why isn't it the book of Elimelech? That was the husband who died.
Yep.
And his name is Eli, which we know came from, like, when Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God. His name is Eli Melech. Melech is a king. My God, my king was his name, but he didn't follow his God.
That's right.
And he went down into the foreign land, and next thing you know, he died. We won't go into the word study here today. But in either case, the book is named after Ruth because she was the Moabitess woman who clung on to Naomi, the mother-in-law. She was going to go back now. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. All she had are these daughter-in-laws of a foreign descent from Moab. She told them on the way, she thought about it and thought, boy, this is not going to be good to show up with these Moabite women when I get back to my land, because I shouldn't have been down here. She started having regrets, and look what God did to me already. She started blaming God. And I want to put a pin right there. A lot of times when stuff doesn't go right in our life,
come on.
We don't say, it's my fault. We say, oh, look what God is doing to me. Oh, God, why you do me that way? Yeah, we want to blame it on God. Now, sometimes when you're going along not doing what he told you, you didn't think about God. And now all of a sudden stuff not going right, and you want to say, God, what you do me that way for? So this is how Naomi was. She was bitter. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. She's coming back. You see, we want to blame God. And yet we didn't do what he told us to do in the first place. So maybe we bought it on ourselves sometimes. You see? So here she is now, notice, and she tells him, y'all just go home. Go on back to what you was doing, because it don't make no sense for you to follow me. That's my translation. Okay, and she told him once, and they both cried and wept and said, oh no, and they had become attached to her. She was actually evangelizing them, telling them about the God of Israel.
Yep.
She was saying, hey, my God has blessed the land, and there's bread there now, and I'm going back. She had turned herself in repentance, but she was still bitter. I think we have people like that sometimes in the church. We repent, we come to the Lord, but we carry a bitterness. You know what? And we can set that bitterness aside. I hope you do it today. I hope you decide in your heart.
Yes.
God blessed me. He saved me. He snatched me out of the pits of judgment and those things that could have happened to me. And I'm on the right road now. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to put my hand in his hand. I'm going to walk with him by faith. And see, won't he continue to bless me even more? And I promise you, he will.
Yes, he will. Amen.
So here she goes now. It says here, she said three different times. At the second time, the one daughter-in-law said, okay, bye, see ya. Her name was Orpah. I always say that was the beginning of the Orpah Winfrey Show. I'm just kidding. Bad joke. But she went back to worship the false gods. And now Ruth said, that's where we come into the text here. Ruth said, she asked her one more time after Orpah left, look, now you see your sister left. Why don't you just go ahead and go on with her? Naomi says to Ruth. Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee. Please don't do that. Don't ask me to go. Or to return to following after, to turn from following you. I'm not going to do that. She had saw something in Naomi and in Mahlon and Chilion and perhaps even in Elimelech that was admirable. It was attractive. She said, I'm not going back to that. Whatever you're dealing with, I want to go with you.
Yes.
She latched on to Naomi with all her heart.
Yes, indeed.
She poured out her heart. She says, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you lodge, don't tell me you're homeless. So it don't make no difference if we got to sleep under the tree or under the bus or under the bridge, what have you. We're going to sleep under the bus or under the tree. Wherever you go, I'm going. I know you don't have nobody to support you. Your husband died, but I don't care. We're going to go through this together. She made a covenant with Naomi.
Yes, she did.
She says, that your people shall be my people and your God my God.
That's it.
See? And wherever you die, I'm going to die with you. So I'm with you to the death. She made a deathly promise that I'll go even to the grave.
Amen.
She was committed. She saw something in her and her God that I'm not going to let go. It's kind of like Jacob who wrestled with the angel all night. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me.
That's right.
She was going to latch on no matter what it took. And she told her, I got determination. Don't ask me no more.
That's right.
To leave. And go away. And it says here that, and the Lord do to me more also if I, it says, if I do aught but to death if I part from you. She made a vow before God. And where thou diest, I will die. That's some strong language there in Ruth. And she said when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she was not going to let her go. Then she left speaking unto her. She quit trying to discourage her from coming. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem.
Yes.
Now, all of you who study the word, you know Bethlehem, that's the Hebrew word for the house of bread.
House of bread. That's right.
And Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven.
That's it.
And he must needs be born in Bethlehem because Micah the prophet said in Micah 5:2 that he would be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah.
Right.
That Shiloh, the Messiah, would come to Bethlehem. And so here it is in the birthplace of Messiah, and that's why you see the importance of Ruth here in our text. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? She must have looked quite a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
She's been through some bitterness. She's bereft and grieved, and she's coming back with this Moabitess woman, not knowing how she'll be accepted. And so she's got a lot of issues going on here. And she said to them, don't call me Naomi. She starts right with her little pity party.
Mm-hmm.
Call me Mara, for I am a bitter woman. The Almighty has dealt with me bitterly.
Yeah.
Got a bad report. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
I went out full, and the Lord has brought me back home again empty.
Mm-hmm.
And when they, he says, why then call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?
Mm-hmm.
Now she blames all that affliction on God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do that sometimes, but we need to grow up, take the blame ourselves, and understand that God has blessed us. If he let us do that, you know what? He had mercy on us.
Yes.
You know, if he allowed us to go against his will and didn't strike us down in judgment, we are under his mercy.
Oh, yes, we are.
And so notice what it says here in our final verse. It says, and so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess or Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Well, the good news about the story is Ruth eventually marries into the Messianic line and has a kid which redeems Naomi's birthright, which she had lost both her sons and her husband, and the end of their line was already coming up. There would be no more seed in that family, but because Ruth was her daughter-in-law, and she was married to Boaz, who became, he was in the line of the succession of people who lead up to the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. That was redemption. He became the kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
Bought back the line of people who were nearly extinct,
yes,
so to speak. So the biblical account of Ruth illustrates how God redeemed even a Gentile bride. Now here's the good news. We talked about this, and we're going to close with this thought. Marriage is that thing that God uses, and he used it all the way from Genesis 2:24. When he ordained that because for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife,
yes,
and the two shall be one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
God thinks a lot about marriage.
Yes.
He holds it in high esteem.
Amen.
You see, because when two become one, that's the reason, that's how we're saved. When we're married to Christ,
yeah,
doesn't make any difference whether we're Gentiles, we're not of the covenant people.
Mm-hmm.
When we trust in Christ, we become part of the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And whatever is true of Christ is true of you. You,
amen,
become one with him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get saved, when you trust Jesus Christ, it's a marriage covenant. And Paul says this is a great mystery in Ephesians 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mystery of marriage.
Yes.
And it's also the mystery of motherhood, because mothers were equipped to be able to allow the Son of God to come into the world with no sin.
Yes. That's it.
See, because God the Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin. She brought forth a son, and his name was called God with us. And I want to show you one verse, and we'll close with this in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Go to Acts 20, and we'll see this. So motherhood is a great mystery that God designed.
Yes.
And I would think that the women would just be overjoyed to think that the design of your body is exactly
yes.
the same as it was when God designed Eve.
Amen.
And that you were designed and equipped physically
mm-hmm.
to be someone through which, that's why women always look forward to the coming of Messiah, that they may be the one who bore him.
Amen.
He was called in the Bible the desire of women.
That's it.
Women always desired that they would be the one that would bear the Messiah in all the time. And there's going to become some things in the latter days. Go to Acts 20 here. We'll wrap up our thoughts on this. I want you to see in verse 28. Paul writing to the Ephesian elders. Actually, he's speaking to them. He summoned the Ephesian elders to come out and meet him out in a boat out off the coast because he didn't want to go into the mainland so he could make it to Pentecost on time. He was on a journey. But he bought them out. And I want you to see just this verse. Take heed, therefore, he speaks to the Ephesian elders, to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Notice this phrase. Which he has purchased with what? His own blood. So what blood was in the veins of Jesus Christ? From his Father. See, he purchased your and you and me from our sins with his own blood. The woman, now I got to close with this thought here. The woman does not contribute to the bloodstream of a child today any more than she did when Eve was made. She carries the child totally separate from her bloodstream. And so it's by that means that God could put the seed into the woman that she could bear Jesus Christ and he would have no sin. Because the blood was, as it says here in Acts 20:28, from God. He purchased the church with his own blood. So that's what it means when it says that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price.
Right. Amen.
With the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You see that? So I would think that the women should just thank God and praise him just for being a part of such a thing.
Yes.
It's a marvelous dynamic mystery how you have been made.
Mm-hmm.
That you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes. Yes.
And so throughout all the ages, God had a plan for that time when Messiah would be born of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all the way back in the beginning. And so that's why it would be not good that the man should be alone.
Yes.
And the Messiah came, as it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come,
mm-hmm.
God sent forth a son made of a woman. So if we are bonded to Christ through that marital bond, that's an excellent thing.
Yes.
Because we are one with him. God sees us exactly as he sees Christ.
Amen.
And there is no difference in the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to offer an invitation here on Mother's Day to anyone who may be here. If you're here and you're not certain that you're saved, we would like you to know that before you leave. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "These things write I unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So you ought to know it. It ought not be something you're toying around in your mind when you're not sure, you're not certain. You ought to know it. You ought to know for sure. I trust Jesus Christ. I believe God will do exactly what he said. He promised that if you believe in him, you will not perish.
That's right. Amen.
And he will purchase you. That blood that Jesus shed on the cross was for you.
Yes.
And if you believe that, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's a promise from the Most High God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And
so if you trust him today for the first time, we want to give you an opportunity, whoever you are, to come right now.
Yes.
And receive him. The Bible says to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons or the children of God.
Amen.
Even those that believe on his name.
Yes.
Amen. So come right now. We'll sing a song here.
Yes.
Childlike faith, except you become a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Come right now, don't be ashamed. Church home, we also want to extend the invitation to you.
Yes.
Maybe you're already saved and you want to be a member of St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. As you see, we do have rooms here. We stretched out the red carpet to invite you to come.
Amen. You may come at this time. We would be happy to accept you as a member with Christian experience.
Amen.
Or as a candidate for baptism. If you have not been baptized, we will take care of that for you also. So if you are seeking membership with the church, you want to connect at this time, we want to invite you also to come at this time.
Amen.
Amen. Come show forth that you trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a member of our church, we promise we will teach you.
Yes.
We are a teaching church.
Amen.
Because that's what Jesus said to do. He said, go ye therefore in all the world and teach all the nations. That includes you. If you're from any nation,
amen,
then make a difference where you're from. Because he said the gospel is going to be preached to the end of the earth. So if you are here today and you want to fellowship with us and become a member of our church, we want to extend a welcome to you to come right now. Don't be ashamed. Just come right on right now.
Amen.
Whoever you are. We have plenty of room. And as I said, if we run out of room, we'll build another building. So just come right now. The Lord will provide.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Amen.
I will trust in the Lord.
Amen. We have two who have come, and we will hear from our clerk here today.
We have
Tyre.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We thank both of you for coming, and we will take some time to counsel with you concerning baptism. We have one scheduled for next week, Miss Racina, who is here, who came on last week. And we also have Brother Rayvon. My brain is still not functioning 100%. And we will extend to him after we deal with these two. For these two, we thank God for you. We're going to say a word of prayer now.
Yes.
Lord God, you said in your word, except we become as little children, that we should in no wise enter your kingdom. And you said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So Father, we thank you for these young souls that you have sent. And we promise, Lord, right now in the presence of angels and this assembly, that they will be schooled in your word, Lord. And we pray that you bless them, God, and just fill their minds with understanding, that they might understand the gospel. We ask for angels of protection to continue to be in their lives, God. And we ask you to give them the knowledge and understanding, that they might understand the ordinance of baptism as we teach. And we give you praise, God. We thank you for them. We ask you to bless their parents and their homes, oh God. And just